Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
Right now, Zen casting it up on the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast. This is Will. We got Jeff. Lots of football going on. Pretty much too much football. So I don't know how we're going to cram this all in, Jeff. But we're going to do our darndest to make sure we fit everything into this episode. We're in free agency wave 3. We got fantasy football, the drafts in a couple weeks, all the combines through, you know, Zoom and Skype are going on. It's just a normal time in the world, right, Jeff? April Fools too, you know what I'm saying? So just get those coronavirus April Fool jokes out of the way. I saw someone from the K-pop group B12 or some famous K-pop group just pretended they had coronavirus. So not off to a great start on April Fool's Day, Jeff. But how is your April Fool's Day going?
Hello, all you cool cats and kittens. Excited to be here on the podcast. The coronavirus April Fool's jokes, it's too low-hanging fruit at this point. I mean, you even see the meme trolls on Twitter, like, they try to tend to avoid the direct coronavirus-ish pranks, just more riff off the other extenuating circumstances and weird situations that people find themselves in these unprecedented times. But, you know, through all of it, I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here with you, Will. Got a lot to talk about. Like you said, the NFL keeps churning on, and we got to operate as if there's a season coming up. And with that, There's pod content. There's, like you said, drafts, OTAs, training camps. Who knows what will happen with all that? But all I know is I'm here with you, my good friend over Zencast, a new official, unofficial pod platform of the pod.
It is. And, you know, I've stolen it from other pods that I've listened to, which we can kind of get into in a second. But it's just a great day today. I knew some fishy stuff was going to happen. It's April Fool's Day, but it's a terrible time of just 2020, not a great year. It's only been 10 months long already. And, you know, we've lost Kobe Bryant. We've lost thousands of people to this stupid virus. We've lost a sports season, the Olympics. First time the Olympics have ever been outright postponed. They've been canceled before due to, like, wars and stuff. But they announced next year they're getting pushed to next year. Stephen Lauren's wedding, of course, also getting postponed. I mean, just so much stuff going on in this world. But you know
that's
what?
Sometimes the order I have it, Will. I have it kind of like people dying, you know, sporting events going away. And right after that, a close one. It's Steve's wedding.
It's right there. It really is. It's right there. But you know what? Sometimes some good comes out of it. And some good right now is April Fool's Day, of course, is when Rick and Morty announces that they're coming back next month. That's what Rick and Morty always does. I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, they just started playing season 3 on a loop on April Fool's Day. The very first episode, they just released it randomly on April Fool's Day, and everyone thought it was a joke, and it was real. So thank you, Rick and Morty. They're coming back in a month. Another TV show that's coming back in 2 weeks from today is What We Do in the Shadows. So get up for that. I think that was my favorite show from last season. I know we're not in March. March was 400 days long. But we're now officially in April. Jeff, let's just get right into the thick of things. Last week we kind of touched on it. Video games, TV shows, people are staying at home, communicating via internet because they're not really used to doing it. But I kind of want to get into the other activities I think has been going on here with the coronavirus. So throw a couple at you. I've been listening to a bunch of different podcasts. I've picked up, now think about this for timeliness. It is April 1st now, and I am listening to an Are You Afraid of the Dark podcast.
Oh my.
It is these two dudes who literally recap every single episode, starting from the very first episode, from here, you know, from the first episode to whatever episode ends up. So I've been listening to that, kind of reminiscing through the days, and it's just called Are You Scared of This? So they, at the end of the episode, just go like, so were you scared of this, whether, you know, when you were a kid or right now? So I've been binging on that, and that's kind of how I found out about Zencastr as well, because that's what they used for that podcast. any new podcast, Jeff, that you have been kind of listening to or binging on throughout this time?
You know what, Will? I'm not really getting into new pods. I just have too many pods on my phone to begin with. So trying to hit some of those. The things I am on the pod front, trying to listen to just fantasy sports, just for whatever reason, like people are doing mock drafts already, and it's kind of just interesting. You know, it's totally mindless because it's like this may not even happen, but it's kind of fun to just, you know, think about it. And there's been some interesting, you know, daily fantasy stuff, just really random going on. So like push-up contests, I don't even know how that works, but no, but this Are You Afraid of the Dark? It's piqued my interest. I'm kind of looking for something fictional. So something to get into, to take my mind away from the nonstop barrage of, you know, statistical and scientific reports I'm trying to digest on a daily basis to, you know, stay informed and have good conversations with Shay as she's kind of on the front lines of all this madness.
Yeah, but you got to stay up to date on this stuff. That's why the Orange County case count, you know, you need to know this so you're not going in unprepared when you're having these conversations with the wife. I mean, you got to be able to understand what's going on with her. You can't go in blind. No. So go in with all the facts. Get the science going on. Watch the news. I don't know what you watch. NBC, ABC, Fox, CBS, maybe a little PBS. I don't know what you got going on for you, but I think you got to do your best to stay informed, Jeff. You can't just be living in a fantasy land filled with, you know, campfires and midnight societies like me.
No, I feel you. We hit that C-SPAN hard every night.
You a C-SPAN one or a C-SPAN two guy?
Well, three. That's where they get the real deep cuts. The real experts only hit them.
That's where
they don't bubble all the way up.
The public council meetings about building a new, you know, train station or bathroom or whatever with vampires.
Oh, yeah, a new municipal sewer system that's going into the greater Riverside area. That's what we get into. But last night, in terms of other corona activities, we've been trying to get out, get our exercise, do some yogs, some runs with Kellen. And I mean, it's kind of like the timing. Like if you do it right around 5 p.m., you might as well around here think that there's nothing going on because there are a million people out and about. Mm-hmm. And it's almost impossible to social distance. And so it's like we went on this trail that we normally go on, and it was like, well, we're never doing that again because there's just literally packs of families together and like blocking the whole way. And it's like, okay, we gotta find a new route because we can't keep it safe going on that old
we've path. Noticed that too here. I mean, it's like without bars and restaurants and move, you know, all this stuff that's closed right now, people realize that they can go on walks. And we've noticed there's this family that lives like four houses down. We've never really seen them, but they've gone on like daily walks. Like you said, around 5 or 6 p.m., it's like six of them walking around the neighborhood. And it's like, cool. Like, you're like, oh, that's pretty sweet. Like, I wonder if they're going to do that after the quarantine's over. But the social distancing thing, this just got brought up actually in our county, because our city just had to shut down most of the public parks now because people were still playing basketball and football and soccer.
Yeah,
because the weather's been so nice. So they weren't originally planning on doing that. So they're still leaving like trails open, but they had to shut down, you know, they put gates and locks around certain courts and facilities around here. It's just people are kind of dumb.
Bottom line, we knew that before the coronavirus.
Anyway, people are dumb, Jeff.
Speaking of dumb.
Oh no.
Last time I kind of put Netflix on blast. That's right. A little bit. We sung the praises of Disney Plus, saying, you know, they got that Frozen 2 out ASAP. They're bringing Onward, I believe, Friday or Saturday.
In 2 days.
A couple days. It's going down. Yeah. I don't even know what day it is. Wednesday. Netflix came back hard. They must have said, Jeff, you just haven't seen what we're offering yet. And I don't know if you've seen it, Will. I find it hard to believe you haven't at least heard or seen things about it. Tiger King on Netflix, which details the crazy, wild feud of just some real characters of people who own big cats. And by big cats, I mean lions, tigers, bears, monkeys, other exotic animals. You know, I think watching Napoleon Dynamite, I always thought like a liger was a fake thing, but they actually have ligers at these cat ranches. So have you seen it, Will? What have you heard? Any plans, if you haven't, to watch it?
We watched the first episode.
Okay.
Probably a couple days ago. It was interesting. We bought into the hype, okay, naturally, which was just social media blowing up, Instagram, Twitter, all that. And it was fine. I mean, I kind of like Joe Exotic. I mean, we just watched the first episode. I'm not sure if I like anyone else in the show. I've seen things where apparently it does get crazy, like arms are falling off and stuff like that. Something to continue on, or if I'm not in on the first episode, am I just not going to like it?
I will say there are definitely other characters after the first episode that you haven't been introduced to yet that are a little bit more interesting. While, yes, the first episode was really focused on Joe Exotic, and the good thing about him, I think, is he kind of stays true to himself the entire time, and he is kind of a likable figure for all of his, you know, faults, which are many and massive. but it's just – it's probably one or two episodes too long. Like, it's like – I'm trying to draw a parallel, but you kind of figure it out by about episode 4, and
don't F with cats.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was searching for. It was like, okay, after the second episode, you really didn't need to watch the third episode. Yeah. And that's kind of how I felt. I was like, you got the first 5 episodes. You kind of see where this is going. You know, the writing's on the wall, but there are a couple characters that I've seen a lot of memes online of. It's mostly about Carol and Joe Exotic, but there's another guy in there. He owns another rival, little big cat up in the Carolinas, actually. So close to you guys, maybe you can go check it out and give us some inside scoop. And he is wild in some of the stuff that he does, like literally wild. So just something, give it another couple.
Okay.
Give it to the third episode. And then if you want to tune out, I think you've got enough social currency to interact in the,
if we can do it tonight because it is a, you know, big 2-hour Mass Singer episode tonight. So there's a couple of big cats on that one I have to watch. It's a Super 9, dude. Super 9. Gronk for sure is in there, you know, the white tiger. So that's a pretty big cat there. I want to touch on one more thing from our side, and that is Home Labor.
Yeah.
So there's 2 Lowe's stores in our neck of the woods where employees have just tested positive for COVID-19. And that brings us kind of wary into, you know, keeping this going on. But I was talking about this other people, and it's because so many people are going to these Lowe's and Home Depot's because you want to buy a bunch of crap and then stay in your house, right? And then just start building stuff. And that's what we've been kind of doing. We bought a new circular saw. We're going to try to make our own door. Our own Dutch door, since Dutch doors are about $800 to $1,300 if you buy them, whereas you were trying to buy a used door off Craigslist or Facebook or whatever for about $80 and just kind of saw it in half, sand and do that stuff. We have our deck out back that we've started fixing up and stuff. You know, we had the contractors, remember that big ordeal a couple weeks ago. That's been pretty fun. We're not growing veggies, unfortunately. We're not doing that. Not there yet. But this has been kind of a cool experience just to kind of, you know, get hands on, with the labor, something that you might do one day when you become a homeowner.
Yeah. There's not a lot of projects to do on our little plot of concrete. So,
right.
Yeah. You know. Good on you. Get those circular saws out. I think my one laborious project that I keep looking at and delaying is organizing our garage, because after Kellen, we thought we were moving in February.
Yeah.
killed that. So we kept all the boxes for everything because we're like, oh, we'll probably move in like a year. So keep all the boxes. So we have every single box. And I look in my garage and luckily it's just like a small area. And I was just like, okay, this is how hoarders happen. It just starts with the garage. And then soon the entire garage is filled with stuff. And then soon the garage creeps into, you know, just the nooks and crannies. So then you're losing closets. Then you're losing rooms. And I'm just like, all right, I got to just... Because it's not even functional. It's like I have to go through a jungle gym to find anything. So got to make it functional. Bottom line.
Lest we forget, and don't you think I didn't forget about the time you thought you were moving. Okay, I remember exactly why and where I was. I was in Vegas when you thought you were moving. So let's just remember that for the future. Whenever you think you're moving, you better commit full time, all right?
Fair play. Fair play.
Touch on. You can give me. I still haven't gone into Ozark. I don't know why. The trailers just never did it for me. Give me a sense of what's going on. Season 3, the big reveal. I've been reading some stuff. People are saying it's just another magnificent season from the mind of the outsider himself, Jason Bateman.
Yeah. And we need to, on that outsider note, let's take that up on the back end because I've caught up at least. I've left Shay in the dust. So Ozarks, if you haven't got into it, I think the first season was really good. The second season, like they tend to, you got that hype built up from the first season, definitely a letdown, but the third season kind of picks back up. And I think where the second season went wrong is it was very focused on the kids and Jason Bateman's character. And I think in this season, they focused a lot on, his wife and, kind of the lawyer character. So it's just new perspectives. And I think there's a lot of spice going on. That's where I'll leave it. Wow. But if you haven't gotten into it, I mean, give the first season a couple episodes. If you like it, you probably don't need to watch the second season. Just hop into that.
Just get a little wiki on that.
Yeah. Just hit the wiki.
So season 2, garbage. Season 3, whatever. All right. Sounds good. Let's outsider, you caught up, you watched the finale, right? Did you know, and when I watched it, didn't realize that there was a credit scene.
A credit scene?
Yes, there's an after credit scene.
I didn't watch all that. I didn't go that far.
Oh my god, we're going to do a live. No. We're going to do a live. It's only like 20 seconds long. Go on YouTube. Let's see if your computer can handle this, because if it can't, then, you know, we will... Okay. Whatever, just go on YouTube, type in outsider after credit scene, and I want you to give me a play-by-play of what's happening. Audience, Jeff has not I did not know this either, because it's an HBO, like, what show does an after credit scene? This is not a movie. Like, who stays through the credits anyway? Let me know if you can find it.
Do you want me to do this with volume? You want me to mute my mic? I guess I gotta do a play-by-play, so hold on.
Yeah, let me just do play-by-play. Let's just see what... you don't need sound for it.
And now she's washing her hands.
Okay, someone, Holly Gibney, of course. Holly Gibney.
Holly Gibney. Yep. She's looking. Spoiler alert. She looks, you know. Oh my. Was that? Who was that? Was that Kiefer Sutherland that just popped up?
Unbelievable. I mean, it was Jack. It was a guy named Jack. Yeah, it was Jack. Okay.
Oh, she thought she'd been cuckooed.
Okay.
She hadn't been. She looks down. She's relieved. She's a little paranoid. It seems like she's doing okay. Goes to her transistor radio alarm clock.
Oh, and just so you know, you can't hear it. It is a song that Detective, his mom heard. Remember that song? He only heard it one time in his life.
Yeah.
Whatever song that was. Okay. So that's the song that's playing.
He's looking up, you know, Jason Bateman's murder, a little. Oh no, she's going back towards. Oh no, she's just going to the dreads. It's hard to tell what's happening. There's a lot of dreads. Still a lot of dread. There's that. The twang of the banjo is happening. I mean, I'm just. I don't know where to go with this. Will you kick it off? So the song that was playing was the song that they only heard once kind of a thing.
It was the one where like this, he heard it when his mom died or whatever, or like his mom had passed. Yeah. And he's driving home and he hears that song for the first time in like 20 years. You know, I was like, mm-hmm. Is it merely coincidence? Whatever. When it focused on her, did you see anything other than her millions of dreads?
It was hard to, it looked like some sort of shadow or something. I couldn't really tell.
Mm-mm. It was a cut on her arm.
Oh.
A scratch, maybe, if you will.
Oof.
And so for those who aren't following, if you get scratched in the show by the demon or the outsider, you a clone of you will be alive somewhere in the world. So now that you've seen that, knowing that there was a couple scenes in the finale, now people are kind of getting their, you know, hypotheses out that were very strange. One in particular, Jeff, again, spoilers for haven't seen The Outsider. They confront the man, mm-hmm. the El Cuco, yes. in the cave, and they ask, you know, they ask questions, and eventually it meets his demise. But during this altercation, Holly Gibney asks, who is, what was Jason Bateman's, Terry? She says, oh, who is Terry? I don't know who that is. During this altercation, everyone's like, he's the man we've been trying to exonerate the whole season. Yeah. So that is one thing that she did that was very strange. She also listened to music. So in that same thing, she was listening to that song. She never listens to music. In that same series, season, she mentions that she never listens to music because it's dumb. It's for dumb people.
Oh.
So wow. With those clues, what does that mean, Jeff?
So are they speculating?
What is this whole thing?
She is now the cuckoo kind of a thing?
Yes, or something. I don't know. Or it wasn't really her the whole time in the finale. Remember, Jack didn't shoot her. Jack had a chance to shoot her. Yeah. He shoots everyone in this entire finale, and she comes up in the middle of the crosshairs, and he doesn't shoot her.
Yeah. And they did a good job of the speculation because there had been previous scenes of some relationship building to whatever degree between mm-hmm. them. And so,
but thoughts on the show, thoughts on the finale. The first, you know, the middle five episodes were definitely a slog, but the first two and the final two, I think were pretty good. What do you think?
I think, yeah, there's definitely a couple episodes where you just can toss that in the waste bin and just be like, okay, yep. Didn't get any new information, no new characters.
It's an Ozark season two situation here.
Oh, yeah. There's about 4 hours of video content that was just pure filler just to build up for those kind of last two episodes, which are fast and furious and come at you in multiple different directions from and I really did not see that whole, you know, the firefight fest from, you know, spoiler alert, going the way that it did. It was incredibly mm-hmm. brutal. So
yeah, it definitely picked up. I liked some of the actors and actresses. I just think if it was six episodes total, I think it would have been a lot better, like a sped up limited series instead of a season. Now that they're trying to, with that, you know, post credit scene that probably no one saw leading or you know, trying to get you to think that there might be a season two and that there are multiple cuckoos out there and one of them could be a Holly Gibney clone. There you go.
It's interesting. I don't think there's enough there though to go for a whole nother, and if they do a whole nother season, it's got to be, I don't know how they do it, they would have to do a lot of work to make it work within the universe, because it can just be like, oh, another cuckoo. Oh, she's doing more bad stuff. Oh, the same detective is trying to hunt her down. Oh, it all leads up to some situation.
You were sped up again. I can't wait for you to hear this. This is going to be magical. Just Zencaster, I mean, I don't know what's going on. I think Jeff needs to fix his battery. I think the microphone is, maybe it's me, I don't know. This is amazing to
hear.
Yes,
I'm back. I just gotta,
you know, it's not perfect.
You're gonna find this so funny.
Nothing's perfect. I think he's back though. I think his laughter sounds the same. Let's just go. You know, we're 30 minutes in and we haven't even talked about, you know, really anything. So let's just, we're going to speed through this NFL news. The draft is still happening. I don't know if you saw this. Adam Schefter, if I still was able to play sound clips, I would play this for you. Adam Schefter finally like lost his cool once for, you know, like on the air. He said, just on ESPN somewhere, that the draft is still moving forward, even though the owners don't want to, the GMs don't want to, but it, like Roger Goodell and the people who make money, or, you know, they know it's a, you know, again, a multi-billion dollar company, want this to happen and they're moving forward with it. And Schefter was just saying, this is so irresponsible and can't believe that this is even a question going on. Now, how is it going to happen? I don't know. I'm assuming they're going to do a bunch of, there's going to be no meetup with Roger Goodell, I'd imagine. No green room, no showboating and taking pictures. It might just be the old fashioned way with a cue card and, you know, so-and-so gets drafted. It's a shame though, because it's being moved from Vegas. I just can only imagine how amazing that draft would have been. I just hope that they get another shot in the future. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with the next couple years. Things kind of just get moved back a year, or if the Vegas one just gets canceled and has to get rescheduled for, you know, 2022 or whatever year it is. And then another thing with the NFL news is just there might not be any kind of training camp. I mean, this is going to be very strange. I read an article that the two teams that have the best advantage right now are the Lions and the Giants, I believe. It's whatever two teams coached the Senior Bowl, because those two teams got to meet all these players before all this happened. You know, it was back in February. Whereas all these other teams are doing Zoom and Skype interviews. There was no pro days. You're not even going to meet these teams. You're just going to, what, send them a playbook if you draft them? Rookies, I mean, if we're talking about fantasy relevancy, it might be a tough year to draft some rookies in fantasy.
Yeah, I think that's going to be tough. I think the people who maybe fly under the radar a little bit within the rookies are those guys who are on that practice squad bubble, right? Like, without training camp or OTAs, right? Like, how do they prove that they deserve? How do they beat out people? How do you find those diamonds in the rough if they're going to, like, they're going to miss their opportunity to shine, right? So it's going to be really weird from that perspective. So I think that's why maybe free agency was so crazy and a lot of veterans got picked up, because they're known entities. You know what they are. You know that even if they're slowing down, this is what they're bringing to the table. Where in the past, maybe people would be more hesitant to sign them when they did. They just wait for the draft, see what they have in some of these rookies, and then make their decision then. But the draft is going to be weird. Like, you can't even have, I'm sure people will, but you can't have like 30 people at your house, like slapping you on the head and like, you know, you're on your couch with your mom crying. It's like, it's just going to be like three people in a shot, all 6 feet away from each other, clapping and jumping around. Like, I don't know. It's going to be weird. I was most intrigued by the logistical setup of the Vegas draft, which for purely that, it needs to happen again. Like, people were going to get rowed out on boats in front of the fountain at the Bellagio and just that's how they were going to get announced. And it was just like, man, that just a spectacle, and how they're going to pull that off. I think it would be good. If anything, you know, it's just more fodder filler for the draft, which is very hard to fill airtime because there is a lot of nothing happening most of the time. So
is it going to be spread out more? Is they going to do it all in 2 days, 1 day, 3 days, 4 days? It could go super fast. And, you know, it's just, the one thing I'll miss is the noise was din 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 din. It's like NFL, or it says like trade announced. You're like, oh my God, oh, the Dolphins. So I don't know. It's going to miss the gondolas in front of the Venetian, peddling out some players.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
April Fool's Day, Jeff. You know what that means.
It is today.
So I picked three teams, and then you picked another three teams. Your first one, very interesting. Actually, you know what? Never mind. The third one I agree with. Ooh, spoiler alert. Teams that might fool you. And I wrote, get it. because it's April Fool's. So these are just some teams after free agency, kind of like some power rankings that whether fool you for good or bad reasons. I'm going to go with my first one, and I'm going to a little twist on here. I think the Buccaneers are going to fool me into thinking that they might not be that good, but they in reality, they will be good. I think the conception, misconception, the conception? Is it a conception if it's not true? I'm confused.
Perception?
Perception. The perception is that they might be okay, or Tom Brady, is he going to do it without Belichick? I think their over-under might be, you know, 7.5, maybe. I mean, if it's higher than that, then I might get fooled myself. But I think they can do it. I think the Bucks have a great shot at not only winning their division, but getting to the NFC Championship. I think they made some great moves defensively. I think their defensive line is great. I think Tom Brady, even if he doesn't have the greatest arm in the world, doesn't need it when he has Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Of course, we've the white tight end as well, Cameron Brate, red zone threat. I'm excited for this Buccaneers team. I'm excited for Bruce Arians. His one last shot to kind of show everyone that he does have what it takes to, you know, take this offense to another level and this team. So the Buccaneers, I think people are going to be fooled into thinking they won't be that good.
Right now, their win total is sitting at 9. So you think they're going to be...
I'm still going over. I'll go over it there.
I don't necessarily...
They were 7-9 with Jameis.
And they probably, there were a couple, like, what was that? Was it the London game where he threw like 6 picks or something?
He had seven turnovers.
Like, you throw that one in their win column. Yeah, they could probably hit the over with Brady and some other improvements. Like you said, Cameron Brate as a tight end, big, big X factor in that offense.
Yeah, thank you.
I get it. I don't know. Maybe. Didn't we feel like that with another? Like, we felt like that was the Browns. Are the Bucks the new Browns this year, Will?
But everyone bought into the Browns last year, right?
Yeah.
I don't think everyone. It's still kind of early, but I could say there's definitely the fair amount of people who think Brady's over the hill, who thinks it's just another team that's going to sign an old guy and it's going to look really weird. And it's going to end badly. I think there are a fair amount of people who think that. And I'm going to be on the other side of that. At least for until, again, it's early. It's only April 1st. Things could change. But I'm hopping on the other side of that. I want the two old dudes, Arians and Brady.
Oof. I you know, like we said, we like Tom Brady. Want to see him do well. A lot of fantasy potential there in the wide receiver core. And obviously the tight end. So, rooting for him.
All right, give me your first one.
My first one is a team that I think vastly underperformed last year. Every year. Ever since the infamous Super Bowl, which was only a couple years ago. The Atlanta Falcons, sitting at 7.5 wins for their total. I just think they can add a couple pieces here and there. Their offense is going to be good. They got Julio. They got Matt Ryan. You look at some of the games last year, it just didn't go their way. Lost a lot of close ones. So I think over 7.5. I think given their division, obviously the Saints are going to be heavily favored, but I think they're good enough to fight for that wild card given the expanded field. So Falcons, I think people are just overlooking them. As maybe a has-been, but they have a good quarterback.
So you're doing what I did. You're going the opposite.
Yeah.
You're not buying in. You are not buying into them. Please tell me.
To what? To make the playoffs?
Yeah. Wow. Todd Gurley, huh? You didn't even mention him.
Todd Gurley, you know, he can be a good player. We've seen him be a good player. Maybe he's got that arthritis in the knee, but he doesn't have to be an every down back. No back really is for the most part, other than your CMCs of the world. He's serviceable. He's better than Devonta Freeman. That's where I'll leave it.
Okay, so who finishes with a better record, Buccaneers or Falcons? Put your money where your mouth is.
Well, Falcons. Put it on the Google Doc.
April 1st, before a draft, before anything even happens, we're going Buccaneers versus Falcons. I love it. My second team, the Chargers, because you know what? I'm done. Done. I'm not gonna buy into it. They're gonna fool me. They're gonna either keep Tyrod. They're gonna just sign some. They're gonna draft someone in the 5th round, like they always do for quarterback. They're gonna go all in with Tyrod because their coach just is in love with him. They get rid of Phillip Rivers and they just sign all these free agents saying, now look what we can do without him. And they're going to see. They're going to pay the price for abandoning Papa Phil. I'm not buying into it. I think they're fooling everybody with all these defensive moves. The Chargers, they're just going to charge and they're going to have about 14,000 fans at SoFi Stadium. So good on you, Chargers.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. You got to upgrade that. No, if they upgrade that quarterback position, it would be a whole nother story. But if they're going,
hey, if they draft Tua, I'm back.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm fully back in that case. You need a better bridge than Tyrod. That's for certain.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be just like the Browns were, where Tyrod's starting 5 games, it doesn't go well. Get in there, rookie, and then you hope he has a Baker-like performance in the rookie season, but it can also go, terribly bad.
All right, your second team. Give me your thoughts on this one.
The ultimate winner of a trade of all time, the Arizona Cardinals. I think you look at their conference, they are definitely the biggest arrow up versus the Rams. The Rams are just getting decimated, losing a lot of pieces on both sides of the ball. San Francisco, I believe they lost Buckner, lost a piece.
Yep, he got traded to the Colts.
Lost Emmanuel Sanders. So there's a couple things down. So you think they're neutral, if not down. And then the Seahawks will likely lose Clowney. Their offense could be improved, though. So I just think the Cardinals are going to be more competitive. I'm not going to pick them to win their division. I think they'll win more games than they did last year, and definitely I think they will exceed. I'm going to say right now their win total over under is 6.5. I think they can easily win 8 games.
It's only 6.5?
Yep. As of...
That's pretty low.
When was this article written?
Come on, 30, sports March betting. 30th. Come on, sports betting. Come back to us, North Carolina. We're getting sports casinos, ooh, sports betting casinos in North Carolina, but obviously that's on a little bit of a delay right now.
Yeah.
I will definitely take the over on that. Good on you. My last one is the Browns. Same thing as the Chargers. You fooled me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me. Browns, I'm not letting you fool me a second time. I love you. I want you to do well. You're coming out with new uniforms again. Apparently, you might be bringing back Brownie the Elf. So we'll see how that goes for you. But you're fixing your offensive line. You're keeping the team together. Odell, Jarvis, you paid Austin Hooper to be the highest paid tight end in the league. Baker is trying not to be so chubby anymore. You kept Kareem Hunt. You got Nick Chubb, of course, who can be chubby because that's just who he is. I love it. I love their team, but I'm not buying in, Jeff. You tell me what their over under is, and I'm taking the under.
8.5. Pound that under.
I'm taking the under. Give me the 8. That's a solid 8-win team right there. Now, if this was a 17 game season, that's a little trickier.
Yeah.
Can't be 500. 8-8-1. Browns, don't fool me again. I'm done.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been a more tempered hype train, but. I feel like if we were having the OTAs and the training camps and, you had Odell and Stefanski, there'd be so many reports of their chemistry building together.
Oh, yeah.
100%. All bought in, all in for this season. And then all the, you got Austin Hooper now, another X factor in the old offense. So, yeah, I'm not going to buy it in. I'm going to say prove it. Prove it, Baker. Show us what you did that rookie season again, and defense come back to us.
All right. Your last one. I'm interested on your take on this.
My last one. The Colts recently added Phillip Rivers, upgraded their offensive line. I'm going to go the opposite. People, I think, have a very favorable view of the Colts.
Oh, no.
I'm going the other way.
Oh, no. 8.5
win total. I don't think they make the playoffs. I don't think they go over. I think they could be an 8-win team. They could be a 4-win team.
Rivers. Oh, no.
The good thing about them, though, is that their conference is one of the easiest in the NFL. I mean, you have to think the Texans are coming down after the Hopkins trade. I mean, what is going on in Jacksonville? Who knows? Little Minshew. And then the Titans, which lost a couple people, like a piece or two on their offensive side, but you feel like the Derrick Henry train could keep rolling. So that points in the positive direction, I think, for the Colts, but I'm not going to buy in. I'm gonna say it looks better on paper than it will be in real life. I'm not getting fooled by the Colts.
8.5, that's right on there. I mean, right now the Cardinals, I think, is the easy over right now. I'm loving that Cardinals 6.5. That's gonna rise as soon as this draft happens. There's no way that doesn't get higher.
Yep.
Colts, man, whew. They got to upgrade those wide receivers though, because right now it's, you know, an 80% T.Y. Hilton and a bunch of scraps.
Yep.
Rivers going to have a different kind of arsenal at his hand for this team. Is it fantasy time, Jeff? Is that what this is? Is that what you're showing me?
I was just curious. So I was just like, why not? Let's look at a first round of way too early and see. I just wanted to see who was there. What were people thinking about DeAndre Hopkins post-trade?
Yeah.
What were people thinking about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin with the addition of Tom Brady? I know there's going to be at least one big surprise for you, but what stood out?
Yeah, you already know who it is. You already know who it is. I don't even – because I just read an article on this player too going on in the air, and the article was, I'm not gonna say the person's name, the article was like, why this blank position will, this person will rebound not only as a top 8 but a potential top 3 pick.
Wow.
Like, not as they're worth a top 3 pick, excuse me, they're not gonna be a top 3 pick. Who is that player, Jeff?
Joey Mixon.
Yes. Joe Mixon in this non-PPR mock draft going 10th overall. Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Before Zeke. That's
unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just to give this, it's 12 teams, and it's McCaffrey, Barkley, Michael Thomas, Kamara, Cook, Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, Julio, Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon, Ezekiel Elliott, Mike Evans. Tyreek Hill kind of a... I don't know how I feel about Tyreek Hill in that first round as well. Anything stand out to you other than your boy Joe Mixon creeping in the top 10?
I thought the Mike Evans was particularly interesting. If you look at kind of the way that this compiler does it, is they look across a bunch of different rankings and then just average everything. So Mike Evans was number 12 with an average of 14.4, really close to Zeke at 11. And I think Zeke is a little bit underrated in this whole evaluation. He showed last season he was durable. He was a bell cow. I would definitely take him over Mixon. I would take him over Tyreek Hill, Julio Jones, Davante Adams. And that's where it would be a little bit of a question. The other thing that really stood out to me is that the Hopkins news didn't seem to impact him. It didn't, and that's probably where, I mean, do you really think he's above Cook and Kamara if he's on the Texans?
I don't think so, no, especially in non-PPR.
Yeah. I thought that the Tyreek Hill was a bit high, too. I would probably, in non-PPR, have both those running backs maybe in reverse order a bit higher.
Interesting. We'll see in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, if the Joe Burrow, if that's who ends up going to the Bengals, if that positively impacts Joe Mixon. Because once the draft happens, that's when you can just start looking at these mocks. Because you get all the rookies in there. You get the, you know, the new offensive lineman. Does that help the old quarterback, et cetera? So we'll see exactly how this kind of goes. One more thing is Michael Thomas, third overall. I don't know if I could see myself doing that. I mean, I feel like I always get burned on wide receivers. You know, last year I took Julio. He was fine.
Yeah.
But you just never get that. I don't know. I just think you never get what you want when you draft a first-round wide receiver. It's so tough.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, top three.
You really have to hit, and I feel like his last season was not an outlier, but definitely on the higher side of his performance. So if he comes down a little bit, I think you don't pick again until the back end of the second round. So who's your running back one going to be at that point? And I think you can find a couple good high-end wide receiver twos to try and fit in there that might hit and give you a little bit more value. So I agree. I would probably push what about Zeke versus Michael Thomas?
I think I would take Zeke.
Yep.
I mean, I know they lost. I know I lost their center, but Zeke has been a very big, you know, staple of that offense. And Dak's back. Amari Cooper's back. It's just he's getting the ball every time. That's really all I got.
Yep.
I think it's just safer to me. In my opinion. Ooh, fantasy talk.
Hot fire.
On a fantasy podcast, Jeff. We got about 9 minutes left. I made finally. I mean, I know it's not March anymore technically, but I finally made some matchups for our March Madness Disney Song Tournament. I mean, there's nothing else going on, but if we were to do this, we got to speed through these matchups. Do you have what it takes?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right, we're gonna shoot our shot right here. So order from least important to most important. Well, no, let me take that back. The first four are all the last seed matchups, and then we're kind of going in order, ignoring the number one seeds because they play the winners of these. And here we go. Eye to Eye from A Goofy Movie versus Be Prepared by The Lion King. Listen, I love a Goofy Movie. I love Eye to Eye, but Be Prepared is one of my most, like, just favorite. It's daunting, it's horrifying, and the visuals that go along with it, I think, makes this song just fantastic. Mm. What say you?
This is a tough one.
Ooh, I think give it to me.
Eye to Eye as a song is probably better, but to your point, within the context of the movie, Be Prepared is just that much better. I don't know if I was just saying song for song without those visuals, if I could go Be Prepared, but I think I got to go Be Prepared in the context of The Lion King. I like it. It's a strong number 32 overall song.
Remember what we said a couple weeks ago. If you can't, like, that's part of my, I know we kind of maybe different criteria here, but if I see a song and I don't know when it was in the movie, it wasn't a good song. Just that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No. I'm right with that. You just wrote it.
Okay.
So Be Prepared wins that. Next matchup, Standout from A Goofy Movie. Now, also, because I knew that Standout was probably going to win this one, maybe that's kind of why I went Be Prepared on the last one. Standout on A Goofy Movie versus Remember Me from Toy Story 2. It's the song with Jesse.
Yeah, it's gotta be Standout. I mean,
Toy Story 2 as a movie.
I mean, come on, get out of here.
Wait, what?
I mean, it's fine.
It's
number two probably of the Toy Stories.
There's four, so like, I mean, we're gonna do the Toy Story. We'll save it for the Toy Story pod. Number three, Gaston versus I Wanna Be Like You from Jungle Book. I actually just re-listened to Gaston finally, and it is a pretty good song.
Oh, it's a banger.
Yeah, so I'm going Gaston here. I feel like you are too. I Wanna Be Like You is a good. It's a nice, happy little jingle though. It's a jaunt.
Yeah, I'm not. It's a very confusing song because it's a bear and a child.
True.
So, and isn't the I Wanna Be Like You? He's just being lazy for the most part. So I can't send that kind of message to the youth of America. Got to go Gaston here.
good play by you. What's this from Nightmare Before Christmas versus Bare Necessities Jungle Book?
You know, this is tough. I think Bare Necessities has a good message. It's very wholesome, but I think I'm going, what's this?
It's the exact opposite of I Want to Be Like You.
I'm going with what's this because I find myself just, I honestly know the tune of the song. I don't know a ton of lyrics, but I do know what's this. And so I try to incorporate that and the little other lyrics I know after that. So I'm going to go What's This, Nightmare Before Christmas, Bare Necessities. Whew, it's a tough one, but that's where I'm going.
All right, now we're in the meat and potatoes here, guys. Those were, I think, pretty easy compared to these next ones. So we got about 5 minutes to do our best here because this is going to be tough. Number 5 seed versus number 28 seed. Do You Want to Build a Snowman? By the way, I wrote from the movie Let It Go, which is obviously not true. It's from Frozen. Versus This Is Halloween from Night Before Christmas. Mm. Go, Jeff.
I've probably heard Do You Want to Build a Snowman a million bazillion times, and it bothers me. So.
And then you had a kid.
Yeah, exactly. This is Halloween. I like it. It's got like it could be a metal song. It's got some good breakdowns into it. Every time Halloween comes around, we listen to it. So it's tough though. Do you want to build? I mean, the tune of Do You Want to Build a Snowman and the message and the placement in the movie is good. Ugh. I'm leaning This Is Halloween though. I'm leaning it.
I hate the Do You Want to Build a Snowman song. I'm hearing it in my head over and over again. I don't want to build a snowman. I don't want to. So that's
fair
it.
Fair play.
This is Halloween. Your favorite song of all time, A Whole New World from Aladdin, going up against Arabian Nights from Aladdin. Oh my God. Arabian Nights, the shorter song, but it's the intro. It sets up the whole entire movie, but A Whole New World is a classic, and I feel like you're gonna go the opposite on this, but I'm going A Whole New World. Sorry.
See, I don't have. I love. Just give me, I love.
Swing
a,
me.
I,
swing me.
What?
Sway me.
No, I think it's the crux of the movie. It's the key inflection point of the movie. And to your point, Arabian Nights, while epic and kind of puts you in the mood. You got to go A Whole New World, I think. It's tough. I don't have a lot of good rationale why Arabian Nights, so I think that's why Whole New World has to move forward here.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's a good little ditty. But yeah, that's all it is. Your second favorite song, Under the Sea from A Little Mermaid versus Belle, Beauty and the Beast. I don't have a lot of comment on this one because I didn't really listen to Belle when I was listening to all these songs when I went back and listened to Gaston. So I'm going Under the Sea, but give me your thoughts on this little matchup.
I gotta go Belle here versus Under the Sea.
No!
I like the song. I like the message. I do like the actual rhythm of Under the Sea. It's got a fun beat. I can be swayed to go Under the Sea, Will, so sway me if you want. But I'm anti Little Mermaid, so.
I don't. You have an anti. No, you are anti Little Mermaid, and I respect that. Boom. So we're gonna go with Belle. We're going Belle here. You've convinced me, not really crazily, but we're going Belle. First big upset of the tourney. Well, I guess this is Halloween. Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Anyway, Just Can't Wait to Be King from The Lion King. That is one of my favorite songs. Going up against another Aladdin tune, Friend Like Me. Will Smith sang it recently. I'm going Just Can't Wait to Be King. I mean, I just love this song. I love it in the movie. Your thoughts?
Oh yeah, absolute banger. Key part of the movie, builds that character up. I do like Friend Like Me. The original version was excellent. The new Aladdin did kind of take the song down a notch for me. Nothing to do with Will Smith's performance, but the whole live action Aladdin was troublesome for many reasons that we will get into in a later pod.
Man, the Toy Story and Aladdin pod coming up. In a couple of weeks, You Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story.
Oh, wow, this is
versus awesome. A Girl Worth Fighting For from Mulan. Number 9 versus number 24.
Jeez, this is tough. I think I'm going to go Friend in Me. I don't think that Girl Worth Fighting For has the staying power of A Friend in Me. If you kind of listen to the it's just kind of a tropey song, I think, like A Girl Worth Fighting For. Plays into a lot of stereotypes, so I'm going to go with A Friend in Me.
And I agree 100%. Yeah. That, by the way, the fact that Mulan is getting made now in live action, very worrisome for me, considering the type of movie it was. Hakuna Matata, the last matchup.
Oh, wow. This is a...
Hakuna Matata versus Just Around the River Bend. And I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago. The Pocahontas songs are great. That's all I mean. They really were great.
Oh, yeah.
It was a tough matchup. Close, number 10 versus number 23. I personally am actually going to go with the Pocahontas song, Just Around the River Bend. It's got a more up... I mean, okay, well, let me rephrase this. It is upbeat. Hakuna Matata is just very basic to me. I get it. It means no worries. But I did not see the live version of Lion King, and I heard that there were no songs in that movie. I don't know if that's true or not. Was Hakuna Matata in that movie?
The live action?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay, well, I retract my statement. I'm going Just Around the River Bend, though. That's what I'm going. I'm going with another upset here.
I think I'm going another upset, too. I'm with you. I like Just Around the River Bend. Pocahontas is very underrated as well. Hakuna Matata, again, what message are we sending? No, yeah. Just no worries. Just live your life. Yeah, you just eat grubs. Like, no. You gotta find your future just around the river.
Fight for it. I like the message you're sending here. Before we go, I want to extend an invite to the wife, Shay, and my wife as well, to try to help us out with these songs when we move on to the next round here, because I think we need more than two voices to decide the winners of these Disney songs. So do your best. I feel like Shay's been trying to reach out to try to get on this pod. That's just, you know, just me though. Trying to extend the invite.
I appreciate the olive branch. I will, if we can get the seeds sent out, I can definitely get some feedback. Whether we'll get some live, that may be another thing. But to your point, I think it's good. We clearly have some biases for some movies and against other movies. So we need another impartial third party to come in here, if not a fourth party, to make sure we're doing justice to not only the songs, but the listeners of the Olive Fields Fantasy Podcast.
We do, and I'm probably talking really slowly to Jeff right now because he is – again, speeding up. This editing is going to be nasty. Jeff, thank you for making this work at your homeful abode during Corona COVID-19. 2 weeks in a row we recorded. Thank you, Zencaster, even though you've been kind of giving us a little bit of hiccups. Until next time, peace.
Peace.